Patty DeGangie and Shirley Gutkowski are known for bringing their Midwestern sensibility to today's health issues with an eye towards the future. With decades of experience in clinical dental hygiene, writing about it, speaking on it, and pondering over all aspects of it, Patty and Shirley challenge dental hygienists to reach higher levels of revolutionary thinking to meet 21st century patient needs, wants, and expectations. Beware their infectious excitement. It can be catchy.
Hello and welcome again to Modern Millennial Hygienist. My name is Shirley Gutkowski.
And this is Patty DeGangie. So Shirley, I got to talk to you about something. I work clinically recently because I still do that every so often because it's really important to stay real. And I was reminded of so many different things. It's, I'm not there very much, but you know, I have patients that missed an appointment and what happens? Well, you didn't call us. You didn't call us.
I know, it's like, crazy, right?
Yeah, how did that happen? I mean, then they come and they want to go shopping. You know, hey, you know, I need this brush, that brush, and this and that. I swear I hit somebody that might have had a funny relationship with a rubber chip stimulator as many times as they ever asked for.
Do those really burn out? I mean, those rubber chip stimulators, I think that they're on the, like, 40-year plan.
They look amazing to me. And then they come in asking for your forgiveness, you know? You say hello and they start confessing they didn't floss. I'm like, wow, how did this have happened? What did we do to contribute to the people feeling this way? I mean, because we have to look at, you know, I mean, we created it. We created it somehow. I think in some, you know, very overt ways of, did you floss? How many times did you floss?
Right.
And then I think some other subtle ways. And what's happened then is it's like kind of baked in the cake. Now, I'm not much of a cook, but I like to bake. So with baking, using that analogy, let's just take these. I'm going to look at these three things of, you know, we pre-schedule appointments, and we expect patient compliance, one of my favorite words, and then that home care product supplier. How do we get there?
I think we got there because we wanted them to have the very best, the things that we would recommend.
I agree. I believe that almost everything we do, not almost, really everything we do, we went into healthcare because we like to help people. We want to help them in ways that often we define instead of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been around a little while here and lived through some life experiences, all of us have.
What?
Yeah. And I had some kind of screwed up relationships over my life, and I had to really look at some things and look into myself. And one of the terminologies, and this was a big thing back in the 70s and 80s, but boy, we still have a lot to learn on it. And that's the term codependency. And usually codependency, where it got the most popularization, is through a family member that's a loved one is a chemically dependent in some way. Now, it's kind of moved from just chemically dependent to almost any type of an addiction. It's basically, there's one side of the equation is the person with the problem, and then the other side is somebody that often is a family member or a loved one that's trying to help them.
Right.
But they end up owning the problem. Oh, is I good at owning other people's problems? I should be able to tell everybody what to do and how they should fix their lives.
That's what makes you a good hygienist, right?
Well, you know what? I did or not. I know I was doing it out of the best intent.
Right.
But intent isn't always the reality because, again, what we've learned from this, the codependency community is that when you own somebody else's problem for them, they don't have the – well, they don't get the – behavior does not – it keeps going. It doesn't – like, they don't ever get the kind
they
of –
They don't own it. Right. They don't own it, and you end up – enabling them into their problem, enabling them to continue on with their problem. You know, like the little flirty conversations that you end up having about flossing with our patients. Oh, I'm so sorry. You forgive me. You know, and it's and it turns into something that it shouldn't be. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for the patient or the clinician.
I used to do this crazy thing where I'd actually take my hand and I'd give them absolution Well, I did that once, and I was actually temping at a retired nun's home.
Uh-oh.
Probably stopped before me. Uh-oh. Yeah, I was trying to be funny. I was trying to say, hey, you're forgiven. Let's move forward.
Yeah, you can't do that in Catholics, no.
That's a choice on my part. But I didn't consider the situation that I was in. But the reality of it is that it's so easy to fall into this stuff. You know, let's talk about that pre-scheduling thing.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
We tell people, months in advance and da 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 da. And I like to challenge just even our thought, who are we doing it for? Are we really doing it for the patient? Doesn't our schedule benefit by having those patients pre-scheduled? And, you know, this whole idea of when did it turn from a helping customer service thing to the codependency? And that's what's interesting about this whole idea of codependency and enabling. It's done out of caring. It's done out of the best reasons, but it really isn't a healthy thing. Because when we tell people, you know, we say, I've asked this question across the country, it's like, you know, well, why do you pre-schedule? It's like, oh, well, they won't come back. Well, what is it? That's a really answer filled with all kinds of things. First of all, it's fear-based. It's scarcity-based. And it also, it means that we don't trust our patients to know how to take care of themselves. But it's also, there's no reason to not do it if we're doing it about for customer service. You know, that whole customer service thing, but that's all sealed up. I hate when somebody wants to give me a stinking appointment card. I haven't used appointment cards for I can't tell you how many years. If it's not on my phone, it is not happening. That's my reality.
You don't have 15 appointment cards floating around in your car? Oh, you get your car is pretty good.
But I think part of it goes to that whole idea of that we want patient compliance.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate that word. Anybody that's heard me speak knows that. You know, it's really getting other people to bow to your behavior, to what you think they should behave.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't really create people's health, be healthy. You know, I mean, it's that compliance. We want patient compliance. I don't want compliance. I like ornery patients. They think for them.
What if we swapped out the word compliance for obedience? Because I think that is what we're really expecting from our patients. And if you say it that way, which is part of the whole idea of using the right language in our practices, if you start saying, I wish you would obey me, instead of saying, I wish you would be more compliant, which, you know, it's a diminutive term when it really means obey, you stupid patient.
I think it's a really good analogy because, again, when we talk about this codependency thing, again, it's so often families, and that's we take a parent role.
Yeah.
To me, the all-knowing parent. Well, any of us that have been parents know that we're not all-knowing. And guess what? As professionals, we're not either.
Right.
And then that home care supply thing, that whole, you know, give out a toothbrush, give out floss. You have patients. I know I have patients that could sell me floss back by the case.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I had a guy come in one time and he goes, oh my God, I went through the whole floss thing. I go, hey, 5 yards, 15 yards, 5 years.
Yeah.
Good plan. You know, I mean, again, it's not about.
Don't you like that floss that's discontinued, right? They don't even make it anymore.
Crazy. And it's like, you know, so often I think people think that we want to throw everything out and throw the baby out with the bathwater. Not what we're saying.
No.
I know it's about questions. It's about asking the questions. That's why what's so much part of this whole process with us here is to hear what other hygienists think. To give your thought. I mean, what do you think when you think of that whole idea of that you could be a codependent enabler? Ew. I don't like the sound of that.
Yeah.
You know, we're being helpful professionals, but when did it go over the line? Have we gone over the edge and now we own the problem for them? Well, I know that I want to hear from everybody out there, and Cheryl, you love to hear too, because I know how interdependent we are. What does that mean? Say we depend on our audience, we depend on our patients, but we don't depend on them in an unequal way, but in an equal way, that we're all part of the success by how we contribute.
Yeah, I think that's a better way of looking at it, that we're all kind of helping each other, and step back and let your patient fail, and that's okay. They're going to have to pay, right? And that's something that hygienists have a problem with also. So maybe we should talk on that topic once in the coming up months.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's what we will be talking about, a variety of things in the very quick coming future. And but Keith, look at the old stuff, look at the new stuff. Think about this as a whole. That's what we're really challenging our audience.
Mm-hmm.
So Shirley, next time is going to come pretty soon. So let's say goodbye for this time.
All right. And we are going to ask our listeners to please make comments in the Facebook thread and on the website as well. We're interested to hear what other people have to say. We're not just here to pontificate to you.
We want to hear from you. Goodbye for now.